so we just switched sessions. Now we have the multivariate studies of individual objects, and the first speaker is Nina Nowak about the range of gamma ray monitoring of Nakaya.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the extensive multivariate campaigns on Markarian 41 and Markarian 541 carried out in 2009. These are my collaborators. I particularly want to mention Ravi Paneke. Multivariate campaigns. I talk on behalf of a very large group of people. Many large collaborations and groups are involved in these multivariate campaigns. This is the outline of my talk. So just a brief introduction. So lasers are AGN with the relativistic jet pointing directly towards us. They are highly variable at all wavelengths, and their SEDs are dominated by beam jet emission, forming two bumps, one at low energies, the other one at high energies. And while there is ample evidence for the electron synchrotron origin of the low energy bump, the origin of the high energy bump is not yet identified unambiguously. This is also due to the lack of observation at high energies. But since the launch of Fermi, we can get, it's possible to get simultaneous observations in gamma rays and at very high energies with Cherenkov telescopes. So to constrain current theoretical models of broadband laser emission, simultaneous observations of lasers over the whole wavelength range over a long time period are needed. And it is important that these observations are mostly in low state, because then other flaring states can be compared to the baseline. Also, distinct physical processes might play a role when the source is flaring. But so far only poorly studied because, well, they are faint, so we need instruments with high sensitivity. And also, most multivariate campaigns are triggered when source is flaring, not when it's in quiescent state. Ideas, well, very good candidates for such multivariate studies, lasers in low state are Markarian 41 and Markarian 541. They are very luminous in VHE, and they are also very nearby, so this implies a low EVL absorption. Multi-frequency campaigns were organized by David Paneke in 2009 to monitor Markarian 41 and Markarian 541 during 1.5 months each. Those two objects were monitored regardless of activity. However, both sources were in a relatively low state throughout the campaigns. And these are all the participating instruments. There are about 25 instruments from radio up to EG. The time and energy coverage for both sources was excellent. As you can see here, radio instruments, X-ray, gamma rays, G, current 541. First part of the work is already published, which is modeling of the SEDs. You can find two publications already, one for Markarian 541 and the other for Markarian 41. And therefore, I will only quickly show the SED series without going too much into detail, as you can find all the details already published. So this is the Markarian 41 SED. As you can see, the high energy bump is very nicely covered over more than 5 orders of magnitude by Fermi and by Energic. Markarian 41 was in a low activity state throughout the entire campaign. see from Octavian Kaiser one, so here you can see high energy bubbles by Pavlov and by Fermi, and by the terrain of telescopes Magic and Verita. Mackay Pfeiffer 1 was also quiescent during most of the campaign, but there was one flare in May 2009, and here in green you see spectrum seen by Veritas during 3 days where they occurred, and here in red you see the low state spectrum from Veritas. Magic, unfortunately, did not observe the flare. Just a few words on the results of the SED modeling. Both sources can be well fitted by a standard one-zone synchrotron self-clamp model with two breaks in the electron spectrum. And the interesting thing is that both objects seem to be very similar. All main parameters have similar values for both objects. So what we see here are really characteristics that are common for sources of the star and not something that is particular for specific sources. Okay, so now I will focus more on the light curve and variability. So with the light curves of Macarian 41, this is in the radio. The radio observations were performed by many different telescopes at different frequencies, so all single dish instruments, and as you can see here, there's no strong variability, so flux is approximately constant for most frequencies. These are the optical and near infrared light curves. There is a very good coverage of optical to near infrared wavelengths provided by many telescopes around the world. And here you can see the flux increases with time, and there is also significant variability. In the UV, it is similar to the optical, so the flux increases with time and there is also variability. In the X-rays, the light curves from SWIFT and from RFCE, you can see also large variability amplitudes of about a factor of 2. And in gamma, this is Fermi, Magic, Zippel, there is also some level of variability. And as you can see, and there was variability, but there was no significant variability. So now, lots of Schopenhauerian cycle ones, this is radio, so again, here, many different telescopes and frequencies. So here you can see that there is no strong variability. Most flux are more or less constant this time. Also in the optical near infrared, there is no strong variability. In the UV, here the variability is more significant, and also in the X-ray, there's significant variability. So now in the gamma ray, Fermi light curve, in black, this has been flipped, you know, 15 days in and 30 days in, there's also variability seen that HE light curve. Sorry. And in the VHE light curves, you can see that there is a flare detected by Veritas and by Wippe. And it occurred on May 1st, 2009. And yeah, Magic, unfortunately, did not observe during these days. There are contemporaneous observations by the X-ray telescopes, but no counterpart was seen to the flare in X-rays, and also in the optical and radio fluxes, there was no flux emission seen in the light curves. However, we have some polarization data from the Stewart Observatory. So the plot here shows the optical linear polarization, and the lower panel shows the electric vector position angle. And as you can hear, the optical polarization is steady and then drops by around 15% after flare occurs. And the electric vector position angle increases during 3 days before the flare and then stops rotating when the flare occurred. So these two events, the VHE flare and the EVPA rotation, can be physically linked. That could indicate a common origin for optical and gamma ray, VHE gamma ray emission, as already seen, for example, in Marshall et al. 2010. Further details on this flaring event can be found in this contribution to the IPRC proceedings. To quantify the variability in the light curves, we use the description by Born et al. For the fractional variability. So this plot shows the fractional variability for all the frequencies, for all the instruments, for Macquarie 4 to 1. And as you can see, but because the source was relatively quiescent throughout all the time, the variability is relatively low but significant in Hall wavelength and largest in the X-rays. For Macquarie 5 for 1, you can see that the fractional variability increases with wavelength and it is the largest in VHE because of the flare. Magic, which did not observe the flare, is more similar to the bar values measured by Fermi in the X-rays. If we now remove the flare from the Whipple and Veritas light curves, FBAR also is smaller and also more similar to what we measured for the magic light curve. So one problem we have is that we don't know what the influence of the light curve sampling is on the fractional variability. So almost all light curves we have are unevenly sampled. Sampling is different for each instrument, depending on observation schedule, weather conditions, whatever. And each light curve has a different number of data points, ranging from a few up to a few hundred within this 1.5 month time range. So the question is, what error is introduced to the fractional variability by this uneven sampling? How many flux measurements are needed to obtain a reliable fractional variability measurement? Or are the FBAR values biased in some sense? So to address these questions, we started doing a few tests, and I will show only really the first very, very preliminary results. So what we first tried as the first test is we took our light curves and selected and removed a number of D randomly selected flux measurements from each light curve and then calculated the fractional variability from this reduced sample and did this many times for each light curve. And this is the procedure which is used when doing a JACNAV analysis on data that is not a time series. So it is not formally correct for time series because the data are correlated in time and do not meet the necessary condition of being independent. However, we tried that as a first test, but just to see what the influence is on FR if we remove single points from our light curves, if there is a large influence or not. Without changing the statistical properties of our samples. So what is shown here in this plot, in black, are the FBAR measurements from our jackknife sample variant, and overplotted in red are the original values we calculated for our original light curve. And as you can see, the FBAR does not change significantly, only the errors are larger. So this is the same for McCartney. This test was done for a large number of values d between 1 and n minus 2 flux values were removed from each light curve. So this shows as an example results for 6 instruments. And as you can see, the FR measurement is reliable for all but the very smallest sample. So here, when there are only a few measurements are left in the sample where we calculate FR, then the FR measurement deviates from the hopefully correct value. So this shows the same for Ocarina 5.1. Okay, so that was just the first big test. And the other tests are underway. So the last thing I want to show are, well, also work in progress, very preliminary. This is the calculation of the discrete correlation function using the prolix. First preliminary side suggests that there is clear correlation for Macarian 4.1 between VHV and X-rays, and no correlation for Macarian 5.1 between VHV and X. Okay, so these are my conclusions. So I presented the 2009 multivariate thinking on Macarian 4.1 and Macarian 5.1. Both sources were in a relatively low activity state. The fractional variability of Macarian 4.1 was low but significant at all frequencies and largest in X-rays. It's important to note that there was no major flare in Macarian 4.1 during the campaign. For Macarian 5.1, the fractional variability at my increasing frequency is not VHV flare. Flare was only seen in VHV and in the optical polarization, which yeah. Okay, I think I stop. Thank you.
Is there any question or comment?
It seems odd to me that there's not good correlation between X-rays and the VHV of Macarian 5.1.
It was just very preliminary. So okay. I did this plot a few days ago. Very
is
much
it,
into
it. Is that been found before? I'm usually there's good correlations, is that right?
But is it maybe, well, because the flare was seen in VHD but not at all in VHD?
Yeah, I wonder if there's a possible theoretical explanation for that. I would guess not. Alright, I'd be hard pressed to find a thing about how that can happen. Yeah, well, any electronic thing, you know, PAG should be able to make that. I think they're pretty good. Okay, I
was trying to forget
the throat out there. It's so hard to see.
I mean,
okay, you ready?
Another question? Otherwise, that's quite a lot. The next next speaker is Alejandro Vitorini, and we'll talk about some consideration on the last well. See you.